Last week, Pastor Dave reminded us that we always need to be ready to give an account for our faith and how we live it in these times in which we find ourselves. And today we turn to the conclusion of this series from Peter's first letter. Will you pray with me? Lead us, O God, by your word and way alone, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Peter knew a lot about living in between times and the pressure which comes with trying to remain faithful through whatever intensities life brings. How many of you here, let's see a show of hands, think that you're living in between times right now? I know I am. Quite a few. You might want to sit on this side because people not living in between times sit over here. There are many of us here, I think, who are living in between times, preparing to be married or having a baby, adjusting to new family dynamics and lack of sleep as children grow and stretch in new dimensions, graduating from college, grad school, medical school, moving, dealing with treatment for new or ongoing medical situations. We've heard and seen and so many weeks these tornadoes that have really led so many people to be leaving in between or living in between times. We said goodbye this week to our session elders who've been serving so faithfully and are welcoming new elders and deacons in leadership of this congregation. And I could go on and on. Many more in our church and our world than we could possibly name have been reacting to changes in our world and the ways in which the church has met those changes and needs to meet those changes as we move forward in faith. Perhaps you would have preferred, though, an alternate title for this sermon. Prepare yourselves for the fiery ordeal and the devil prowling around. Better attention getter, maybe, than living in between times? We don't spend a lot of time here in the middle of the road Christianity getting fired up about that fiery ordeal or even the devil prowling around. And yet the realities of suffering and evil in our world are real. And they are real as we seek to live and figure out how to live in faith and with integrity. How then shall we live in the midst of this in-betweenness, as around us we see a swirl of transitions? Peter knew the intensity of his times, the struggles and the suffering of people seeking to be faithful in their context, living in the midst of persecution for their faith. As we approach the end of this letter, which started with the challenge to us of being and becoming living stones, the tone of the letter turns quite intimate and tender, with images primarily of God's amazing care for us abounding. Even in the midst of the hardships, Peter reminds his people, God goes with us. Beloved is how he starts this passage. We share in Christ's suffering. The Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting upon you. We are under the mighty hand of God, according to Peter. When I first read that verse in 5:6, it seemed more like an image of control, to be under the hand of God. But then in reading some of the news accounts of the tornadoes this week, I came across the story of a mother in Springfield who died as she covered her teenage daughter's body during the tornado in their bathtub. The image of being under the hand of God became a very different image. He cares for you, Peter writes in that 5th chapter. The God of all grace has called you to eternal glory in Christ, and Christ will restore, support, strengthened, and establish you. All of these from the texts that we read this morning, intimately involved in caring for our lives, each and every step of the way. That's how Peter ends this letter of challenge. At our session meeting on Thursday night, Elder Keith Cooper led us in devotions, reminding us that there's something pretty mysterious about this image of living stones, how something so seemingly rough and hard can also be such a foundation of faith. And we return again to these solid foundations as the letter closes, rejoicing that even, and maybe even particularly in suffering, God's glory can be revealed. One of our new Wednesday morning prayer members prays powerfully in ways which always send me forth thinking in new dimensions. And this week her prayer struck me particularly as she prayed, not knowing what we would be preaching on this week. Lord, we don't know why this is happening, this hardship, but we do know that your glory will show in it somehow. Peter puts it this way in the text today: rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. The marks of faith that we read in Peter are formulated very directly with a command to us, but also with a promise. We learn several things from this text about the faith that we bring to times of challenge. That there is a God, and that we are not that God. Humble yourselves, Peter tells us. We are under the mighty hand of God. You may remember that the prophet Micah reminds us of this, that God has told us what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Walking humbly with God is at the heart of what is good and what leads us to be and to do good. We are also in an in-between time in the Presbyterian Church. You may have heard or read or seen that a new ordination standard has been approved and takes effect next month. It replaces one which focused only on the way our sexuality is lived out. And it begins with the words, "Standards for ordained service reflect the church's desire to submit joyfully to the lordship of Jesus Christ in all aspects of life." Many of us rejoice that this new standard allows for faithful Christians of great gifts in our churches who are also gay and lesbian to be allowed to serve freely in ministry. It gives us, as one person put it recently, permission to understand ordination in a new way. But it's also a challenge to us as a church. For others are anxious and fearful that their faith and the standard has been repudiated. Can we live together in unity in this in-between time? Only by God's grace and strength. Peter tells us we submit ourselves humbly to God in thanksgiving and trust that God is God and leads us forth. Cast your anxiety on God, Peter says. Some of us do quite a bit of casting as week by weeks go. And I like the image that was presented to me the first time I ever studied 1 Peter, which I was reminded when we started the sermon series, was the first year that I was ordained. It was the first Bible study that I ever led. There was a member of my Bible study in that year that saw, when we studied this verse, says, "I don't have any problem casting my anxieties onto God. It's just that when the answers don't come as quickly as I want them, I take them back on myself to deal with them." We must discipline ourselves to keep alert, Peter says. Now, I know that many of you here in this room are under a serious disadvantage on this one, with little ones who wake up at all times of day or night. It's hard to be alert in that moment. But there's a strange paradox that it's also by living in that particular moment that we sometimes are most alert. An odd juxtaposition of alertness that comes when one lives so fully in the wonder of those intense moments. Discipline ourselves to keep alert, Peter says. Discipline, the same root as the word disciple. Resist and hold steadfast in faith, for temptations are all around us as we turn away from God. At our recent conversation about Christian education in the life of this church, we were reminded by our parish associate, Jenny Smanick, that faith is a verb. This text underlines the active struggling and reaching nature of faith. It's not something that we can just sit on a shelf and admire like a trophy, but a living, breathing, writhing, wrestling image that calls forth energy. Intimately and tenderly, God cares for us with a command and a promise. Humble ourselves. Cast our anxiety on God. Discipline ourselves. Resist and hold steadfast in faith. For Christ is at work transforming us. Many years ago now, Christian singer-songwriter Amy Grant had a song, The Now and the Not Yet, which was one of my favorites. She writes, "No longer what we were before, but not all that we will be. Tomorrow, when he appears, will be changed by his glory, wrapped up in his glory. And so we learn and grow and stretch to new understandings as together we worship and praise the God who is above all and in all things. We come to the table this day in the hope and the promise of that presence. This gift of the table, of Christ's body and blood, which is shared for us, set forth for us, that we might gather in his name. We come not because we must, but because we may. We are all invited to this table, all invited to share this bread and this cup. All who seek to follow Jesus Christ, to know him, to love him, to live as his disciples. Let us come together this morning as we share in these elements of the bread and the cup. Let us come singing. You will see words projected to sing in the manner of today as we come together here over the bread and the cup.